Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today is Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, September 21st, 2017. The world is in turmoil. Most of us don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin in the world and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Did you hear the sound of the shofar? Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please, please, please make this choice tonight. If you need Yeshua in your life, you need to make the choice to accept him tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, your number, prayer requests, and our message. The phone number, of course, is the same as it always is, 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886, because I am there for you. Remember, 316-619-4886 if you have an emergency. Now, you can find updates with the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all this at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. prophecyhour.com. Remember, we are a national satellite program which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's live right now on YouTube and on some FM stations, so pray about supporting airtime. On another note, let's take our listener base, which is worldwide in places like Lisbon, Portugal. Oh boy, here's one I can't ever pronounce. Chongqing, China. Anyway, over there in China, they're listening. Madrid, Spain. Guyana, Venezuela. Hyderabad, India. Toronto, Canada. And, of course, cities in the good old United States as Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Boston, Massachusetts, Colorado Springs, Colorado, San Jose, California. Hey, I was born there. Kansas City, Missouri. These are just to name a few, of course. Wichita, Kansas still remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they go to podcasts later on tonight. And you know what city comes in second? You guessed it, Washington, D.C. I guess all them politicians are up there listening to us, and, you know, maybe they ought to get saved or something, you know, you think? Anyway, now a prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest, and this is an interview I'm really looking forward to. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I lift up all those been affected by this storm. So many losses, Father, so many hurting. Please, Father, help them. And I just ask that you would just bless them, Father, and bless all the people that have been helping them. I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not ours. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. Please lift the veil from their eyes and bless this program tonight. In your son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, amen and amen. Well, in the Middle East today, we've seen over and over saints getting their heads chopped off because they would not renounce Yeshua. Families tortured, slaughtered, raped, sold into slavery. The question arises, is your faith that strong? Does it have to be? Well, I think we've got somebody on that can finally answer this, because, you know, I've been asking, I ask the same question over and over over so many radio guests, is I ask about the church and why they don't stand up. And, but anyway, tonight we have with us Jake McCandless. He's a senior pastor and is a founder, president, and speaker for Prophecy Simplified. That's Prophecy Simplified. He has a Bachelor of Arts in Bible from Central Baptist College in Conway, Arkansas, I guess it is, AR, anyway, and an advanced master's of divinity from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Jake is presently the director and instructor at the Baptist Ministry Training Center, the Faulkner Baptist Ministry Training Center, and he has just written a book and published by WorldNet Daily called The Spiritual Prepper, Tapping into Overlooked Prophecies to Prepare You for Doomsday. Today, we ask him to please, Jake, speak your heart. Welcome, Jake. Are you there with me?
Yes, I am, Pastor Dan, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here and visit with you. And I just want to say the starting of your show with the blowing of the shofar, just set the tone. And I hope it's heard across your audience, the need that for all of us to repent and turn our eyes to the one that matters most. And I just appreciate the chance to be here.
Yeah, amen. We started blowing, program been on a few years, of course. We've been doing radio since 2001, on this station since 2004. But when the so-called Arab Spring came about, the Father put it on my heart to start intensifying the warning. And so that's when we started putting the horn on. And so having said that, you know, we talk a lot with people about being prepared this way and that way. But, you know, most of them don't address what you address in your book, which is by far, I believe, the most important thing. I was just telling my 16-year-old who's over here recording this program. So why the spiritual prepper? Why? Go ahead. Back to you.
Yeah, well, as you mentioned, it really takes that idea of the physical prepping that's going on. You know, right now, you turn on the news, there is disasters everywhere. Just the last couple of days, you know, earthquakes in Mexico, Australia, Indonesia, Japan, swarm in Mount Rainier, you know, the hurricanes, a couple more breathing down our necks, what Puerto Rico went through today, the fires out west, my goodness, it's just so much going on. And so you see those events like that, and that begins to, you know, remind us that we need to be prepared. You know, it wasn't too long ago in our country where, you know, families were prepared to make it through the winter. You know, now we're not prepared to make it for supper that evening without picking up something on the way home. So there is a need for physical prepping, and there's a lot of that out there. But one of the passages that just rings in my head is Matthew 10:28. It says, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Be afraid of one who destroys both body and soul in hell." And there is a greater thing to prepare for, and that's eternity. And we're so temporal-minded. But spiritual prepper birthed out of a senior pastor, loved my congregation, you know, loved where I was at, where I was working, and I was preaching a series of messages on what I called overlooked prophecies, or forgotten prophecies, and it was six prophecies just throughout the New Testament. You know, we think prophecies and things that you've covered on your show, you know, the Antichrist, who's the Antichrist, what's going to happen worldwide as far as, you know, disasters, those different type things. But they're a prophetic word a lot about how people, and especially followers of Christ, will be at the end of the age. And one of those that, as I'm preaching through it, Matthew 24:10, at that time many will turn away from the faith. And so I'm preaching, I'm looking out at my congregation, and I'm thinking, okay, this is saying right here that many of those before me will, when tested, and this is talking, you know, up against persecution, right, and in this intense time, would turn away. And I'm asking this question, have I done enough to prepare them? You know, as a pastor, have I done enough to prepare them to stand strong? And as I really begin, you know, thinking towards that, you know, it's God steering my heart towards that.
Right.
We're already ran across the statistics that's, you know, out there. One of the ones that just really captured me from a friend, David Sanford, author out of Portland, who had written a book called If God Disappears. He'd written that at that current time, there were 42 million people in America who had once, you know, were committed in a church, professed Christ, but at this point no longer was in the church or practicing their faith. And that's a staggering number.
Right. Well, let's go with the – we have a lot of avenues we can go, and I'm going to ask you to share some of the, a couple of those stories. But you're a man after my own heart in the sense that listen, brother, then we can be. I can have all the food in the world stored up in my house, but if I'm not spiritually prepared, that's just it's useless. I would rather be spiritually prepared than physically prepared. I do believe both go hand in hand, but
yeah.
Not being spiritually prepared is what we're looking out and seeing the American church right now. The American church is weak. If the American church wasn't weak and if they were standing up spiritually prepared for their faith, I don't believe that all the politically incorrect things that are going on in this country would even be here right now. We'll start with that. Back to you.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you bring up the church is weak, and that's one of the chapters in the book. It's been the most controversial from those who are outside the church saying, yeah, amen, brother, that's why I don't go, or those in the church who's discouraged, and there's so many who are. But as I mentioned right now, 42 million Americans who have stepped out of church, and you know, we use church as kind of the, it's not the epitome of our faith, but usually if that's not there, there's not much more behind it. And so you have that many who have stepped away, but on a personal level, and I know you hear these same things as a pastor out in the community, the conversations I'm having regularly is, Pastor, you know, I used to attend church, I used to maybe attend your church, and my grandfather passed away, and I just couldn't understand how God let this happen, or I went through a divorce, right, and I have no idea, you know, I just became so angry at God. Or more likely it was, Pastor, I went to your church and I had my feelings hurt. Or, Pastor, you didn't do this and it hurt my feelings and I just hadn't been back. And so you've got this in America where we're turning away from eternal matters because we get our feelings hurt when our brothers and sisters in Christ in the Middle East are dying for their faith and making choices to not deny Christ that... I write in the book a story of a father who has to go to the door and answer for his family, knowing that not only could he be killed, but his young daughter could be sold into sexual slavery, his wife could be raped, his young son, and as they were doing, is taking the young boys and basically brainwashing them as ISIS soldiers and turning them against Christians themselves. And to make that statement and not deny Christ and believing that's the best decision. And so... here in America, like you said, we can come to Christ and begin following Him without making that decision. If I had to die for my faith, would I?
Let's go with this. Let's go back into that story for a minute. In this instance that you gave in your book, you know, I read it and it brought me to tears. But you know, I see a lot of that. You know what I mean? Because we have missionaries and different people on the program. Having said that, anyway, in your story, the father does indeed answer the door, and he is asked to deny Messiah, and he doesn't. He won't deny him, and so inevitably he is killed, he is beheaded, his family is, if I remember correctly, his daughter was sold off into slavery, and wasn't his wife raped, I think. Back to you.
Yes, yeah, before him, yeah, absolutely.
Well, so having said that, and then you make the statement that so many people wouldn't understand, and as a Christian we should automatically understand this, that he made the right decision, he made the right choice. You tell the folks why he made the right choice.
You know, it's there's always joke about pastors' kids. You mentioned your child. I guess not child anymore, 16, but I've got two young girls, and they go. You know, I go away on the weekend to preach and share. Prophecy to prophecy weekend deal, and I tell them, Daddy loves you. He's going to tell people Jesus is coming back. You know, but they go with me when they can, and so. I guess one night they were my oldest, who's six now, was sitting in the audience, and the next day we're driving, and she's in the back of the truck, and she just says out of nowhere, "Daddy, you know people want to kill Christians." And she's five at the time. I said, "You know, I guess you were listening last night." And her first, and so I began to tell, "Yeah, there's people that hate Christians and other places of the world where they're being persecuted, where people would kill them because they believed." And without skipping a beat, she replied, "Daddy, why don't they just lie?" why don't the Christians just say, you know, and she says, you know, just a lie to stay alive.
Right.
And I really think that's where we're at in America. We have pushed our faith to be so personalized. And we're doing this right now. You know, there's times maybe I don't speak up. There's times I know some of your listeners and their job and those things. I mean, there's a time and place where God leads us. But when God's leading you and calling you to do certain things and you do not and you shrink back, that is disobedience. And beyond our destination being sealed for eternity, the next thing on our mind should be faithfulness. And I really think here in America, we don't care about remaining faithful. We don't long to hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant. You know, we say things, I'm just happy to get to heaven by the skin of my teeth. Well, that's the only way. We don't even get there by that. We get there by the grace of God, you know. But we need to have a desire to be faithful.
Let's go backwards here a minute. You start off by saying that the reason for this book came about because of your heart to warn your congregation if you did enough for them. Well, you know what, and then we talk about your daughter, you know, well, why don't they just lie? Well, I see two things in that. One, the Father is, the Holy Spirit, is really being worked on your heart, and this is a message that needs to be out there. But the problem lies with so many pastors that aren't standing up to be faithful, because faithful means that if we have the faith to believe, we are supposed to act on that faith. And if we have the faith to believe in the Word, then that means lying should never come into the picture, period. No matter what it's about. To get away from trouble, we're not supposed to lie to get away from trouble. We're supposed to stand up for truth. That's part of the scriptures. You know, we even have young people that are running away from church, and many are going to run from church. You realize that, I'm sure, brother, with these storms, they're going to say the same thing. They're going to say, why didn't God stop that storm before it hurt my house? But what we look at, and especially with people who are missing out on, they say, well, we're not supposed to go to church. We don't have to go to church. Well, maybe you don't have to, but you know what? I'm Messianic, and I believe what Leviticus 23 says. Leviticus 23 calls about the Feast of the Lord, which we're in Rosh Hashanah tonight. But the very first Feast of the Lord is the weekly Sabbath, or we'll just call it the weekly meeting, if you will. And it requires you to have a holy convocation. And that means that you're supposed to have a meeting, an assembly. That's what the church is, assembly of called out believers. You're required to do that by the Word. But it goes back to that. I don't believe the preachers are doing as you do. I don't believe they're standing up and preparing their people. Back to you.
Well, you know, and it's tough to put your finger on what's going on across the country in churches. I write a chapter in the book about how the American church is doing, and I had pictured in my mind when I'm writing it, tried to explain that I'm writing about a church that we would see as Bible teaching, preaching the truth, engaged in mission, engaged in their community, but still failing to prepare their people for the dangers ahead, because we don't even talk about the road being difficult. We don't even talk about the fact of persecution. I remember first, you know, this really coming into my heart and working through it, and me and my wife around dinner talking about, okay, what would we do? If we were being persecuted, if we were this, what would we do in regards to our kids? So, you know, I think even those who are preaching the truth are not dealing with that. But then you have the extreme. You have the truth not even being presented. You have the gospel not even being presented. You have false teaching. You know, so you've got the whole spectrum out there. And I know that I pastored the past 12 years, and a year ago, almost to the date, I walked away to take this message further than just my congregation. And so I'm in a church speaking every week, and I'm talking to pastors throughout the week across the country. And I meet great men who are doing a fantastic job. And so, you know, I want to be careful, and I know you see that as well. But there's just restraint that we have. And I was just reading today in the passage I shared, Matthew 10:28. I was just kind of reading back through that today, kind of preparing my heart for tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never put this connection together. The context of that is not just persecution. The context specifically was that what the Lord tells us and speaks into our heart We're to proclaim from the rooftops. And then, therefore, don't be afraid of those who could hurt you. And we're at a point where we're afraid to say the truth just because of what people may think. And I you know, it just, you know,
let me make it simple for you.
Yeah.
Let me make it simple. Being the church has become, and okay, let's do this first. You're right. I don't want to offend anybody. Number one, you know, there are some really great pastors out there and really great people that have that are the body of Messiah, the churches that are really doing a good job. But it is, I do not believe that's more of a minority than a majority,
yeah,
by a long shot. But the church, for the most part, the bigger the city, the more politically correct they become.
Yeah.
I know, because brother, I have a, I had a couple. I reflect back to a young couple, you know, maybe barely 20, that came in, and you know, they weren't married, and somehow, well, we were in the middle of a lesson and everything, and I just looked directly over at them, and I said, "Do you think that you can continue on in fornication and, you know, living out of wedlock without no consequence, you know?" And they said, "Yes, absolutely." And I said, "Well, how did you learn that?" "Well, our pastor told us that. It doesn't matter. Once saved, we're always saved. We can't lose our salvation. And so it doesn't matter if we're sleeping with different partners." They hadn't been together apparently all that long. But you see my point. The church, what happened to the church? Back to you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I know we're coming up on a break here, and we'll get back. I want to just kind of be transparent on what I felt as a pastor that I know put me in some of those predicaments. But you're absolutely right. And we do need to offend those who aren't proclaiming the truth and aren't holding up holiness. And I just had a conversation with a gentleman yesterday, and he was sharing with me how his heart was. We've just come to accept so many things, and we're not allowing God to move because we have positioned ourselves in a place of acceptance of sin and just really burdened our own souls down.
Yeah, amen. You hit the nail on the head. And it's because, and it's a society. It's tough, brother. It's because the society that we live in, it's so much all around us being acceptable, where it didn't used to be. Now, women can, and in some cities they can, practically go nude or go nude, and people don't even blink. Okay, brother, tell them where your website's at, and we'll go to a break, and we'll come back and let you pour your heart out.
Yeah, you can find our ministry at prophecysimplified.com. You can find me on Facebook, Jake McCandless, and find our ministry there as well. And you can find the book at our website as well.
Okay, folks, listen to me. You go over and check the pastor's page after the program at prophecyhour.com, and I will have some links to that so you can find him easily. I found him on Facebook and Twitter both. And so anyway, we'll be back in 3 minutes with more.
Dan will be right back.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Okay. Anyway, today we have devastation all over this side of the world. Mexico is reeling from an earthquake. Puerto Rico, Florida, Texas, and other states and places from hurricane damage. We have earthquake earthquake rumblings in Washington State and coming from under Mount Rainier. All these things that have came about after the eclipse over the United States. Yes, it's a call to repent. As I say so every day, America, you need to repent as the world slides further and further and further in depravity. Americans are reacting with these things by hands-on helping and donating to the various charities that are out there doing things and helping. I commend that spirit, and please, please keep it up. But I ask you to call on America to repent. Indeed, before it is too late. Men and women of Yahweh, stand up and do what is right. Be heard. Do not be silent about the evil that you see around you. Now is not the time to be politically correct. Stand up to the evil that is coming on this nation and the world. Repent and lead others to repentance. Do not be silent, because the silence of the body of Yeshua is what got us here in the first place. Do as Yeshua did and throw the money changers out of your lives and out of the assembly. Let your actions be based on biblical truth and not what is, again, politically correct, or rather Hollywood correct. There are more of you than there are of them, so humble yourself before your Father. Repent and be heard. I also ask, in these times of trouble, please don't forget our little mission church and this radio program. We're just trying to serve the Father. We're trying to warm you and love our brothers as ourselves. Pray for us. Support us so we can do what the Father has put on us to do it. So we don't sell anything on this radio program. Messiah's Branch is a church. We do not sell anything. So pray about it. And remember, folks, we are all the last hope for so many. We're responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help with the poor, again, consider a donation for radio airtime, as it's not free, and donations is what keeps us on the air. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com. But, you know, now I really want to get back with this pastor, and, you know, his name's Jake, and he wrote a book called Spiritual Prepper, and I'm just so really glad to have you on with us, Jake. Are you still there?
I am, and I have enjoyed the conversation. It's going fast.
Well, amen, it always does. That's what most people say. Well, that went real quick. Well, you know, things fly when you're having fun, you know.
That's right.
And that's all I try to do with my guests, is try to just have a conversation, you know. Don't worry about anything else. Just put what's in your heart. And so we'll start this part off. Take it away. What do you want to say to the people?
You know, we were talking before we went to the break about how that, you know, what is the situation across America? There's so many things that need to be dealt with, that need to be addressed, and it's one thing that, you know, I've learned over this past year. It's hard to make a blanket statement because you've got so many different situations out there. That's why throughout the book I shared 11 or 10 different spiritual disasters that we encounter that if we don't remain faithful through, they will cause us to turn away. But, you know, you mentioned pastors, and I just didn't think about my situation. I was in an excellent church, and not every pastor gets blessed with that. We had near unity. We had a large, almost all of our congregation involved in smarter Bible study, engaged in ministry. We had a larger footprint in the community through a feeding ministry and band ministry and children's youth and those different things, doing tons of stuff. And so here's... As a pastor, I'm in a great situation. People are growing. We are making an impact, which is good. But we were at a level where it took a lot to maintain those buildings, those vans, right, that food, you know, the staff, the small bit of staff that we had, and those things. And people were gracious to give and loving in that regards. But I know as a pastor, I'm sitting there. And when you came to those times, you know, I didn't back away from the truth, but you navigate it in a way because you want to keep things going.
Right.
And I think, a lot of times what happens is at the expense of the truth, the expense of really capturing God's heart and what he wants said and what he wants done, instead, a lot of times we hold on to the status quo. And I know the pressure I felt in my situation, which was a good situation. And so I think across the country you have pastors stuck in these positions where they've got so much invested or so much indebtedness in buildings and infrastructure and those things. The body of Christ is the people. You know, and then also on that, no, it's not the building. And at the same regard, you also have those who've built their churches or built their ministry on that the seeker mentality that, you know, trying to appeal, as far as in the worship service and everything they do, to a visitor or to an outsider, someone lost coming in, which I don't think is what the church is called to do. I mean, we're called to meet together, and I believe organically outside of that, share the gospel and make disciples in that way. But when you're built in that kind of model and you're always appealing to those who are lost, it's hard. And I find it's me as I'm calling around, visiting with pastors and meeting and sharing about our ministry and seeing how I can make a partner with them and help their church. Because my heart is not just to share prophecy where people who want to hear about prophecy go. I want to take it to those who aren't listening and aren't seeking the truth and that prophetic truth in that regard. But I run across pastors who will say, you know, that's just not really the type of thing we do at our church, which, you know, that's over a quarter of Scripture. So what in regard to saying we just don't teach the entire Bible here, because it is such an appeal to whatever their target audience may be and those things. And so, I mean, I think pastors, even good pastors who have a solid heart, who want to please the Lord and honor Him, get caught in that. But pastors, we really have to see that first and foremost, we're shepherds. We're not performers. Even I love to preach, and I felt that was my area of strength, but that's not my number one job. My job was to shepherd people to Christ. And you know, in this atmosphere we're in America now where, you know, you can't hold one another accountable to a full degree, because if you address someone's sin or you address where they are spiritually, they just go to the church down the road. And we're just in a spot where it's hard to shepherd in that situation.
That's absolute. It's going to forum, and that's why actually, and take this with a grain of salt in the right way, but unless there is something dramatically changes for the body of Messiah in this country, the church is going to be irrelevant, because when you're not preaching the word, you have the conditions are around us are here because the word's not being preached. We took God out of the church. We are, in the sense that we allowed for these things that are completely wrong to go on. We shut up our mouths politically with the Johnson Amendment. Okay, we won't talk politically anymore. We shut our mouth when they took the Ten Commandments out. We shut our mouth when we took prayer out. We shut our mouths. We shut our mouths. We shut our mouths. And now we look around, and there's immorality all around us everywhere we look. And you say, well, it's hard to get away from, but we are responsible because we, at some point, did not do our jobs and stand up and be men and women of Christ. What we have to do, you know, it's like this, brother. I tell the Father, I'm here to please Him. I do not care about whether I have 100 people in that come and listen to what I want to say, or 10 people. The people that will be there are the people that are there because the Father wants them and put a pull on them. I will stand up for Him, and we've been doing that for a very long time. If that same message needs to go to the United States, that's what these warnings are about. That's what the eclipse was about. That's what all these storm warnings are about, and all the rumblings. We are in the time of the end. It's not time to be politically correct. It's not time to worry about the congregation going down the street, because they will. They'll keep going until they find a church like that couple. They never came back. And back to you.
Oh, that's absolutely right. And when I say that the book is written on two levels, really my heart and what I wanted to write was to pastors and church leaders and say, you know, because I was steady as a pastor, I'm going to these church or going to these conferences, pastor gatherings, and they're teaching, you know, sharing all the statistics and how that the numbers and this particular denomination membership was tanking, baptism numbers were down, and those things, And I'm hearing those, and then they're giving all of these formulas and methods on how to fix that. And as I begin looking at these passages, these overlooked prophecies, one of the messages that I want to get out there is, you know, we should not be surprised that people are leaving, that people, you know, are lovers of themselves, that people are not gravitating to truth, but they're gravitating to false teaching, because these are the things that were warned. And so I think one point, we've just got to realize, hey, we're in a messed up situation, and we've got to focus, as you said, on what the Father calls us to do and follow Him and be strong in that and let the chips fall where they may. I think it, probably we share the same heart. I would love to see a revival in this country, but I think it's going to happen. What's going to happen? It will be through fire, through difficulty, and it's the small remnants that rise up. And but through that, you see God's power, as you're seeing in the underground churches in the Middle East and across the world.
What you did say just now is absolute truth. That's absolute. It will take something dramatic. That's why we have the things happening that we have right now. It will take that. We need to learn that if we're not prepared, just that's why your book's so important. It really, really is. And folks, you really need to get it. You talk about like the girl falling away from her faith because of peer pressure. You know, Jesus won't let you go to the party. Talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, so we start in the book, start with the story of in the Middle East, and someone being so bold at their faith that they did not deny Christ, which cost them their life, their wife to be raped, to be sold into slavery, daughter sold into slavery, son executed, younger son carried off to a ISIS camp, and the grandparents that were in the homes, or the parents that were older parents were in the home, were forced to take a death march to a refugee camp. I mean, these things are happening as ISIS marched through, and he remained faithful, did not deny Christ. And we look at that and say, wow, you know, is that the right decision or not? It definitely is when we see verses clear as day, do not deny me, you know, we see in Scripture. And so they begin to walk through just from that, the contrasting what's going on in America, and just one of the first places, you know, we're not facing outright persecution as they are in other places, but we are facing some pressure. We are facing being marginalized and the pressure on us. And so the next story you pick up is a story of a teenager I worked with in youth group who just on fire Christ. I mean, you saw God just working in an amazing way. And then when she just was given the slight pressure that she wasn't going to have the same status she had before, she walked away from the Lord. And to this day, still away from the Lord. And think of the eternal results from that. You know, and we think in terms of, you know, salvation and destination, or we think of the fact of she hasn't been faithful. If she continues into eternity, she wasn't faithful. But if you lose 10, 20 years of your life or a lifetime, think of those you fail to share the gospel with. Think of those who you lead astray because of your life. And for her, she was single high school student, and she went on to make the biggest decisions on her life. You know, where she went after high school, her career, her spouse, and then children. And then you begin this whole cycle of generations away from the Lord from peer pressure. And right. Go throughout the book, we see that in false teaching. We see that through temptation and sin. And I deal with that in the book. And, you know, sin separates us from the Father, but He calls us to confess and repent. And it restores that relationship. But where the greatest point where we turn away is when we do fall short. And instead of getting up and turning to Him, we just say that He's done with us. And I think that's one of the biggest dangers is we just think the Lord's done. He's not done. He calls us back to Him to repent and to carry on. And eventually ended up in hurt feelings. And really the goal was just to contrast how silly we are today to turn away from the things that we do when our brothers and sisters have been so strong. I'm reading Richard Wurmbrandt's old book, Tortured, right now.
Oh, Christ.
And just you know, about the communist control of Romania and the Christians underground. And here, this man, he goes to prison. His wife goes to prison. His child is, son is left on the street, and still they felt this was the best call to hold on to the Lord, no matter what. And that faith, and we've got to get to that point where we just trust God with everything, as our brothers and sisters in Christ are showing us and being examples around the world.
Well, I think that you know, what, for whatever reason, a large percentage of the Western Church has had a watered-down gospel preached to them. It's more of a gospel to tickle their ears than it is a gospel of truth, you know, preaching towards holiness, you know. And it's, there's so many different things that we could blame it on, but the only thing that matters now is not what happened, is what needs to happen. And, you know, brother, I'm just praying that somehow, and that's like with this radio program, you know, no, people say, well, you're preaching doom and gloom. No, I'm not preaching doom and gloom. What I'm preaching is that Yeshua is coming back. It's a, and their birth pains will be there. You know, just like a woman in travail with a child. Ouch, ow, 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 in such agony. And then finally something wonderful comes. And that's what we're all about, is what wonderful comes. And I want to be here for him. It's not how we act on this world is just about the next. What do you think? Back to you.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we say as preachers, it comes easy to say we don't take anything with us, so we can't pull a Hirsch with, you know, Hirsch didn't pull a Utah trailer to it. You know, it rolls off the tongue, but I think in reality, we take the results of every action and every word. I try to push people to think of the scene of us gathered around the throne, every tribe around the world, and to think about your life and who's going to be there because of your life, or who's not going to be there because of your life. And I really, I think that's the scene, once we've come to Christ and we begin to follow him, that we need to live for. And, you know, this is, it is some doom and gloom, because we've gone way off the track. Difficult times are coming. But even in the midst of those birth pains that Jesus talks about, he gives that blurb of, and the gospel will be spread across the world. And what I love about what you do in your ministry and your show is, it's not just the knowledge of prophecy, but you're feeding, literally feeding folks and providing love and the hands of Christ in real life. And, you know, I think prophecy should not lead us to the bunker. It needs to lead us to the mission field. And one of the things that I've just been blown away, I was teaching in a revival setting. I like to do a revival setting, do a prophecy seminar in a revival setting, because I think it needs to capture the heart, not just be head knowledge. And I had put the sermon together, and I had a bunch of visual slides, and I showed a map of where the promises of the Antichrist and the armies at the mm-hmm. end would be. I put up the goal of the of ISIS, the goal of reclaiming the caliphate. I put up map of those who had been let, the people groups who had been least engaged. And then I put up of where the fastest, you know, per capita Christianity was growing in the nations. And I didn't realize it, but they were all the same maps. All the Middle East, all mm-hmm. Northern Africa, what you should call the 1040 window there. And so at this, you've got this amazing collision of events of war and the rising of the Antichrist mixed with the gospel spreading and the message going there. And when I did mid-sermon, it hit me, you know. And it just,
isn't that amazing? Just real, I'll cover that real quick. You know, and for the record, China is supposed to be the number one, and under persecution, that Christianity is flourishing. And we're seeing in the internment camps, we're seeing Muslims turning to Christ. We're seeing Muslims that are having visions of Yeshua and visitations. Amen. And then we look at lukewarm America, and we don't see a lot. I think part of the message that's missing from people is, you know, brother, we did away with the sacrificial system, but I say that's actually wrong, in the sense that we have to look at Christianity. It is sacrifice for whom we come to Jesus Christ or Yeshua, whichever the case may be, we die. We are supposed to die. We're supposed to give up our old life. That is a sacrifice. And then we're supposed to live a life for him, not for the world. But here in the Western world, we've been given so much stuff, or you could call it, right now you could call it, we've been given screens. Everywhere you look, there's a screen. Whether it's in a person's hand that's walking around, or else in their house, there's so many screens. They're being overtaken with so much ungodly material that, well, it's just a problem. Back to you.
Oh, I think you just hit it. If I had to boil it down, there's a lot of issues with the church in America, Christianity in America. I think the wrong brand of Christianity has been preached. We like to come to Christ and tack him on our life to help us, when instead we're to follow him. You know, the invitation Jesus gave was, follow me, repent, come follow me. And absolutely right. And if you transform your life into that, when you're seeking the Lord and let him hit, and going where he sends you, that's a complete different life. And it's, and what's so hard in America, as you said, there's just so many things. I write in the book, I quote from Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, which I think if your audience, if they have not read Pilgrim's Progress, every Christian, I think, needs to read it. It tells the story of this allegory of this Christian going on the narrow path to the celestial city, and he's constantly facing these obstacles, which is our life. We're just constantly facing these battles, these could be spiritual disasters that we need to prepare for. But one place he comes to is Vanity Fair. And it talked about this place in the road where they had everything you can imagine. And so people who are journeying to the celestial city just stop and park and say, this place has everything. Why do I need to go on? And I think that's America. I mean, it is Vanity Fair. Anything you want is right there at your hands, on your screen, you have access to. And it's so hard to really see the truth and really even feel the presence of the Holy Spirit because we're just so much stuff around us. And for somebody to just truly say, Lord, here's my life, take me and use me, he seems to call us to things where we have to discard a lot of things in this life. And me and my wife and our family, we just made a life change, and it was a minor step compared to what he called many others to. But one of the hardest things that keeps coming up in this past year we've been on this journey is well, we want this, you know, to be a normal American, we need this, and we don't have, it's this eternal battle. And when we see the Lord on the other side, all that's going to be so foolish.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he'll give us, if we follow him first, he'll give us the things that we have need of to fulfill his mission and not ours, you know. And that's what he said he'd do. But we are inundated in this world with so much stuff. It's like you say, you know, why does a person expect here? You know, we see many, many miracles at our Wichita Mission Church. People come in and ask for prayers. They say, hey, I want to be an example for prayer, because we've seen it more and more and more. People instantly healed from cancer and all kinds of things. But why does that happen? Because these people have nothing. Their last resort is God, and God the Father, in many cases, has took everything away from them so that the people will hear him. And so he calls them, and they cry out, and he answers their prayers, because it's a real prayer. Well, we have Vanity Fair. If we can go to Vanity Fair and get the miracle, why do we need the Father? Okay, got about 30 seconds or so, 45 seconds, and you know, say goodbye or whatever. And your website again, please.
Yeah, it's prophecysimplified.com. Again, you can find the book there, find out about our ministry. I'd love to be partner with your church and help out. And just one last thing, as I've been working on this book for years, took it before publishers. They liked the book. They liked the idea. But they said, Jake, it's never going to sell because you're writing to Christians at the height of their faith, their walk with the Lord. It's saying, hey, you better be careful. Something could come up in your life, and you can easily walk away from the Lord. So who's going to buy that book? And I appreciate WMD for getting behind it and saying we believe in the message. And so as your listeners are listening, they're listening because they probably trust in the Lord. They're following him. just realize any one of us could turn away. It happened to Peter. He was the first one that was warned. It could happen to us.
That's absolute. That's absolute. This is one of the most important books. Let me assure you, Jake, this is one of the most important books, and I do a lot of books, that I have ever had an interview for because of the content of it. So you be encouraged, brother. Anyway, you come back sometime, okay?
Hey, let's do it. That sounds great.
All right. Well, you be blessed. I got to go. Goodbye and shalom to you, brother. Bye-bye. Well, folks, that was Jake McCandless. Get his book. You need to read this book. You really need to read this book. Lift it to prayer, but get it. Listen to the program, share it with others. But remember, there is only one God. And who is he? He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always do what? Be a blessing to others. How can you live a Christ-centered life if you're not allowing him to work through you, being a blessing to others? Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for the Messiah's Branch.